CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Hussaina Khani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, and Bill Rajo of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow who keeps the Long War Journal about the conflict with Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other jihadists. Mr. Ambassador, Imran Khan in the news again. And I read just the summary.
I read just the summary
of what he said in these last 24, 48 hours. Imran Khan assailed the PDM government for bringing the country to the cusp of default and accused the media of turning a blind eye towards economic matters and instead focusing on a wristwatch, which he said was rightfully his to sell or do whatever I want to with it. This combines identity politics of Imran Khan. I'm a great cricket player who was deprived of my post as prime minister by the United States conspiring, and a man who speaks to the economic plight of Pakistan in general. Is he more successful than ever, or is this a man crying in the wilderness, Mr. Ambassador?
Look, Imran Khan is spectacle, like, say, for example, Donald Trump has become in the United States. The moment when he represented serious politics, I think, is past, because he won the election, he came into office, he continued to play to grievances that he had nurtured for winning the election well into government, did not deliver. The economic crisis he's assailing right now was created by his government, not by the new government. And the new government legitimately came to office by voting him out in a vote of no confidence in parliament because he lost the support of smaller parties in his coalition. Since then, he's been propounding conspiracy theories, or the Americans did it. Then he backed away from it a little bit. The army chief did it. Now the army chief is gone. So now he is trying to, and then his party members have been saying, hey, voters vote economic issues, so talk about the economy. So now he's talking about the economy now. Because he's a celebrity, he's a former cricket player. A lot of his supporters call him one of the most handsome politicians in Pakistan. He always gets media attention. He won a string of by-elections, and he won them because he was the candidate in each constituency, in each seat. Now, he can't replicate that in a general election because he can't run for 200 seats, because that would basically mean having two elections. In Pakistan, you're allowed to run for more than one seat, but you can hold only one of them. So then you vacate it, and a special election is held. It's just a loophole in the law that he exploited. Now, when he's the candidate against a local influential who is not necessarily a national figure, he wins. But that may not be replicated in a general election. And above all, he's running out of issues. A lot of people are actually getting bored with him repeating the same things. So he will remain a spectacle. He will remain in the limelight. He will continue to get media attention. But right now, his biggest priority is to ward off all those criminal charges that are following. That's why he's talking about this watch. This watch was given to him as a gift by the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And he sold it. And there is evidence of it because the guy he sold it to has produced the documents, etc. Now, it was a gift given to him as prime minister, so it was a state gift. And to say that, you know, I got this as a state gift, but then I sold it because once it's given to me, it's mine, is just, shall we say, populist sort of, you know, I can stand in Fifth Avenue and kill a person and nobody will oppose me kind of attitude. He will run into legal difficulties. And therefore, what he's trying to do is to go on the offensive before those legal difficulties catch up with him.
Bill, ISIS back in the news. CNN reporting in these last hours, the U.S. killed two ISIS officials in a helicopter raid in eastern Syria. What is the mission, Bill? This looks like whack-a-mole from the early Afghanistan days.
Yeah, John, it is. This is what the U.S. military used to refer to as mowing the grass. They're going after Islamic State leaders that are operating throughout Syria as well as in Iraq. So since the summer began, last summer began, I've identified five different raids, at least that have been announced by U.S. Central Command, that have gone after mid to high level Islamic State officials. So, you know, the common theory, and it's not a bad theory, if we target and kill enough of their leaders, the group will become ineffective and collapse. But what we've witnessed over the last 20 years is that's just not the case, because what we're not targeting quick enough. And we're not killing them quick enough. Remember George Bush? in the early 2000s. You know, he kept a checklist, and at some point it was 75% of Al-Qaeda's leaders were killed by, I believe it was like 2006. And yet here we are, you know, 15, going on 17 years after that moment. And, you know, Al-Qaeda still exists. I mean, people will say it's not effective. I would argue it helped take over Afghanistan, and its leaders are based there. It's very effective, in particularly in Africa today. It still has a presence in the, throughout the Middle East. It's a significant organization. You have the Islamic State now. You know, I always describe this targeted strikes as necessary but not sufficient. It is necessary to take out their leadership, to disrupt their operation, to get them to do things other than planning to take over territory and conduct attacks against the West. When you start taking them off the battlefield, they have to start thinking about their own security. That's a good thing, but we shouldn't mistake that for a strategy that will lead to the collapse of an organization, because there's just too many of them, because they have picked their successors. They've been operating for years and decades. It's an organization that has a lot of manpower and a lot of leadership. So I'd argue these strikes harm them in the short term, but in the long term, really don't matter all that much.
So mowing the grass, is that what you said, Bill? Mowing the grass.
That's what the U.S. military used to call it in Kunar, as a matter of fact, in Nuristan, okay, in Afghanistan.
To Donald Rumsfeld's credit, he had asked this question. Are we killing fewer of them than are being generated from the ground up? And that is the problem in the strategy of just identifying individuals and killing them. Basically, you also have to understand the circumstances and the reasons why these people join these groups and what ideology makes them join them. And that is something the U.S. has completely ignored.
Well,
has never been an attempt to try and deal with that. It's only about killing the people we know belong to the group instead of knowing who is joining them.
Well said, Mr.
Amen, Ambassador. Thank you.
Bill Raggio, Hussein Haqqani. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.